All right. So hi, everybody. This is our second call in the opening series. It's Michelle, of course, and it is October 15th, 2020, halfway through October. Unbelievable. So we are going to begin in Shavasana as we always do. You can have camera on or camera off, whatever you choose, but whichever way you do with your camera, find a spot that is just for you. Find a spot where you're not going to be disturbed. Find a spot where your own mind can be quiet. Find a spot where you can access whatever silence is possible for you in your space. Close the door if you can. Move objects away from you so you create spaciousness. Remember that the practice of Shavasana is a metaphor. So how you're doing this practice is how you're doing your business, is how you're doing your life. There's little clues. And we can, when we make small changes here, the small changes matter more than we think. Because as we make these small changes, there's a ripple effect out into our businesses and out into our lives. So take the time to be comfortable. If you're not in a place where you can lie down, then it's fine to do a seated meditation during this time. If you're able to lie down on your back, support your head and neck so that the chin is lower than or at least level with the forehead. And bend your knees, take the flesh of the buttocks toward the heels so that the low back is at ease. And then extend one leg out and then the other and relax the legs. Now pay attention here, just like we want to pay attention in our companies, is something not comfortable. Don't tolerate discomfort. And this happens more than we think. So if your low back is not comfortable, raise the legs up on something. You can place the calves up on a chair or a couch. You can place a bolster or a rolled blanket beneath the upper legs or the knees. Do whatever you need. Can you pay attention to you for this time here today? What do you need so that you can be relaxed and at ease and comfortable? Because when we can do this here, we do this out in our lives as well. And we stop leaking energy in the ways that we do in throughout our day. So be comfortable. Be supported. Be warm. I don't often mention this in our Thursday calls, but the body temperature tends to drop during Shavasana, especially when we're here for longer periods than we're here for, but even in a couple minutes that can happen. So do you have blankets or a jacket or whatever it is you need so that you truly are comfortable and supported? If you haven't already done so, softly close the eyes. Remember that the arms are in a low V, palms up position. So the arms are straight, just a little distance away from the body. And behind closed eyes, just allow the whole body to sink to the earth. Just let go. As we come into Shavasana, often we notice all the little ways that we've been holding. Maybe we haven't even noticed it until this moment. Where have you been holding tension, stress, anxiety, other people's needs? Let all that go. Let the earth receive it. The earth has the power to receive all those things and let them disperse so that we come to evenness, we come to presence, we come to joy, we come to the breath. So releasing all tension, releasing all whatever you're holding on to, let it go. You can almost pick it up again after Shavasana. Let it go now. Let your focus be just on the sound of my voice guiding you and this breath here and now. Watch the breath. Be curious about the breath with the curiosity of a child. What's the breath like today, here and now? Can you notice? Have you paid attention to your breath yet today? Breath is prana, life force energy. Breath is a gift. What's this breath like? Pay attention. And let each exhalation be a washing away of all cares, all worries, whatever doesn't serve you. Let each exhalation be a deep letting go. Breathe in whatever supports you. Breathe out whatever you want to let go of. Just let it go. Notice whatever quiet state you've achieved here. Be content with what is. Santosha, in the yoga tradition, contentment. Know that all is well with the silence that you've achieved today. It's just right for you. It's perfect. Know that you can come to this quiet place anytime you want. It's there right with the breath. Allow the breath to deepen. Place the hands on the torso. Feel the breath. Bend the knees. Roll to the right side. Support your head. Take your time. Softly open your eyes. Use your hands to press yourself up to sitting and return to our virtual circle. Camera on whenever possible. It trains that one-pointed attention so that the rest of our week we have created that habit here. I'm only going to pay attention to this one thing. Those 5,000 other things can all wait because I'm here. So be present here. And as you return to our virtual circle, and again, returning to camera on whenever you're able, I'd love to hear from one or two of you. What was this practice for you today? What did you love today? What's opening for you today? Because as always, what we focus on expands. Where is your attention? And if you can return to cameras on. I'm not seeing any of you yet. Thank you. Making sure that I'm still here with you guys. Yay, thanks, Andrea. Thanks. I thought you thought you were emerging. Not yet. So Andrea, you're the first to emerge. Thank you so much. From that Shavasana, must have been, I think it was probably a deep one for everybody. It's like everybody's still over there. Let's start with you then, Andrea, since you appeared first. What did you love in your practice today?
I just love, actually, you talked about the word contentment and then the word in yoga for it. And it's interesting because up until this point, I really quite enjoyed the contentment, but there was also a part of me that didn't want to be, not today, but just in general, want to be content because then it's complacent. Mm-hmm. But now I've come to a different space where I'm like, yeah, this is just awesome. And so I enjoyed that a lot today.
Thank you so much for that. Contentment versus complacency. So often we won't allow ourselves to be content because we think that nothing will change. We're going to get stuck with this always. And so I better get uncontent so that I get a move on. And but the yogis highly prize santosha. It's a much, the translation doesn't quite cut it, but it's a deep level contentment that all is well, that in this moment, that there's nothing else needed, that this is full and complete content, all is well. So thank you for that opportunity. And this, I don't think since we started beginning with Shavasana, what has it been, a couple of years now, I've lost track, that we've got to that level of understanding of the Santosha piece of Shavasana. Thank you for that. Great, great observation. Let's hear from one more of you who would like to go next. What did you love in your practice today? I was training that one-pointed attention on what I loved, whatever else is going on. Who would like to share? Yeah, Dottie, thank you.
Well, I just love the softness, the sweetness, the calmness. I love your voice. It's so calming. And what I love today is I loved it so much I was sad when I had to come out.
I love that, Dottie. That's satya in the yoga tradition, truthfulness, right? It's just what is. And to notice that and then let it go. And I love that when the practice draws me in like that, like, oh, it's so yummy. Oh, I don't even want to leave. Then I don't have to be disciplined to make sure I'm doing my practice. I'm going to be drawn in like bees and honey and bees and flowers. I'm just going to, wow, I just will be drawn in a beautiful way. So I love that. And then when we notice that sadness coming up, you know, if it does, then just noticing it, letting it go and moving into the next moment. And it feels like you did do that very well, Dottie, because I'm not sensing that grasping any right now. You just noticed it, you were aware of it, you came into the next moment. That's what it looks like to me in how you're being right now. And that's really beautiful. So thank you. Love it. All right. Anything else wanting to be said about Shavasana before we move on today? Okay, excellent, excellent work, guys. I love this. All right, so announcements. I've got a few announcements to make. Let me grab my rich piece of paper. I've got different pieces of paper in front of me. Here it is. All right, announcements. So as many of you know, we've been developing different systems and processes to track students, to track your progress, to help and serve you. So one of these is about attendance. If you can just say hello in the chat each day, you can do that when you arrive, or you can do that right after Shavasana. When you arrive is great, so you don't have to think about it afterwards. The team will know you're here, and that helps us to serve and support you. Just a couple of reminders, upcoming call dates, next Thursday, October 22nd, Thursday, October 29th. So we have the next two calls in the opening series. And then make sure you've got marked out on your calendar as well, Empowering Stories for Entrepreneurs. You're going to be seeing more of this in your inbox coming up. But we have not done this series for, I don't think, a couple of years or so. And it is an outstanding series. It's open to the public. It's open to all you guys. You're not going to want to miss any of it. We interview amazing, amazing entrepreneurs, and we help tap into, you know, stand on their shoulders, like, and so that we can grow quickly. How have they tapped into the power of story to really rapidly grow their companies? So make sure you've got that on your calendar as well. A schedule change. We just handed out the calendar, and I'm like, really? I think it was that day that I got a call. I've got just a medical checkup appointment that I've been waiting for months for. I'm fine. It's just a small checkup they need to do, but you know how it is. It's like, here's a date, and you've been waiting for 6 months, and here it is, right? Right on top of the first practical application skull. Like, really? I tried to change it. I would have lost the appointment. So we're now going to have the first of the practical applications call on Tuesday, December 8th at our usual time, 12:30 Mountain Time. So if you can make that change, I'm sure we'll send out the updated calendar, but we try not to change things. But in the interest of ahimsa, nonviolence, non-harming, I can't teach you guys that, not do it for myself. So that's December 8th instead of December 10th. Today's last day to turn in your monthly survey. So for those of you who've completed the survey, you're invited to a special facilitated mastermind with Marie. That's Wednesday, October 21st at 2 p.m. Mountain Time. So enjoy. You still have time to send it in today if you haven't already. This is a great way to see what you want your month to look like. What is it that I'm even aimed at? Because how am I going to get there if I don't even know what it is? So these are all new ways that we have to serve and support you. So, and if you need a link to that, head over to the Facebook group. You can find the link to the survey there. All right. So that's it for announcements. I would love to hear a couple of wins. who has a win you'd like to share? It could just be that, hey, I breathed today in Shavasana. It could have happened just now. It could have happened sometime this week. It might be something in your company. It might be something that you're excited with. I was on a team call this morning, and my win was that my daughter just got in her latest application to the University of Alberta, and I helped her with it till, you know, almost midnight last night. And so that was my win. My win was my daughter's. I'm so happy for her. I'm so proud of her. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that when we talk about the Inspired Action Blueprint later on. If I don't, ask me what's the story about Dana, and I'll tell you. So what's your win? It's so important to celebrate our wins. Who's got a win to share? If you don't, yeah, thank you, Mary Kay. Sometimes, and then Yvonne, if you don't think you have one, that's especially a great time to share one, because when we find it, we're like, oh, wow, wins are happening. And if we've got a big one, boy, shout that from the rooftops. Got a small one, shout it from the rooftops. Mary Kay.
Well, my goal this month has been to really focus on self-care and observe it and take care of it. And as my family is, well, they're on their way here to visit, and I've been amazed because I've been holding myself back from doing things too much in order to just take care, because I've just finished a horse clinic and I need to rest. Mm-hmm. And I realize I haven't ever done that before. You're right. It's a whole new perspective.
Mary Kay, did you just say you've never done that before? So in all of your years on the planet, that's never happened before. Is that what you just said?
Well, I don't think so. I didn't realize it, but it doesn't feel like I ever have.
This is huge. And remember when we connected, especially with what Carly was saying toward the end of the call last time, saying, oh, right. That win at my back, that knowing that, like, what's at the heart of the opening series, that I'm not alone, that there are forces bigger than me that I can rely on, whether it's intuition, God, my highest self, Buddha, it doesn't matter what you call that thing, the universe, people around me. And Carly said, well, wow, it's when I'm tired and I'm overworked and I haven't taken that self-care that I can't listen to that voice. It doesn't happen. So it is so crucial. It's foundational for this whole series. And it's a very first time. This is what you just said. Like, I don't remember ever doing this. Mary Kay, fantastic. New possibilities, different ideas come up, different pathways, different level of life, different joy, different level of company from that small and simple act. And it's so simple that we don't do it. You know what I'm saying? It's so obvious that we go, oh, tomorrow. And then it doesn't happen. Thank you, Mary Kay. Freaking awesome. Love it. Yvonne.
During Shavasana, the doorbell rang and I ran downstairs and the third bouquet was delivered. So today I'm officially stepping down as managing director for Illumin Upwork. So tonight I'll have my last event that I'm hosting. It won't be my last event as an attendee because I've been a member for almost 14 years. But I'm very rich in the flower department right now. Multiple bouquets sitting on the counter. Been a while.
Yvonne, that's so beautiful. I'm so happy for you. And this is a big, big thing. 8 years, more than 8 years, right?
Yeah, almost
8 years. 8 years. 8 years. Almost eight? Almost nine.
Almost nine.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. So yeah. Over 8 years as managing director, as executive managing director, this is huge. And we need to know how to say goodbye too. We need to know how to say goodbye to one thing, so that a door can open somewhere else, and to be able to make that transition is beautiful. So Yvonne, I'm so happy for you. I'm so proud of you. And I'll be there with bells on this evening for that last eWomen event that you're hosting this evening. So beautiful. Thank you so much. Right. Anything else bursting to be said? Any other wins that you're just, I've got to share this one. Anything else? Wendy, that was quick. That one was like, oh, yes, me. Wendy.
I am taking a week off next week to spend time with my husband. And I'm so excited to get out of my head.
Oh, so good. So good. And, you know, a week off. And with your husband, with your loved one, that's so beautiful. And in these times, I've noticed this myself, if anybody's been hanging out with me in private calls, and I've said it sometimes here too, that travel used to structure breaks for me in my life. And after 7 months of COVID, I was like, hang on a second, because I would travel for work, but then I'd always make sure there's days tacked on and sitting on the beach or something, right? It's like, oh, What about those chunks of time, spaces? So important. Congratulations. It's right in the energy of what Mary Kate was talking about as well, like space. Space and time for ourselves. And when we don't do that, we do that at our peril. We can't keep going. We burn out, we make poor decisions, we just have to work so much harder. It's like a downward spiral. Or it can be that upward spiral. And so happy for you. So happy for you, Wendy. It's beautiful. And again, if you've been hearing me off grid, and I'll share it here, I took 3 days this weekend was Canadian. This last weekend was Canadian Thanksgiving. So I took 3 days off, then I took 4 days off. And I realized I haven't been doing that since COVID. So actually putting that on my calendar, actually, you know, otherwise I'm out of alignment with my own teachings too. So finding spaces, and I'm taking the entire week off for US Thanksgiving. So many of you are in the US, and I'm like celebrating with my US sisters and brothers. So I'm like taking that whole week off. So just space, spaciousness, ease. Thank you, Wendy. Beautiful. Yes. All right. I really encourage you to go put your wins over on the Facebook page. It's a huge, huge thing to celebrate our wins. I'll say more about that a little later today. So wins, go celebrate. Rejoice in each one of them. And how long do you celebrate it? You just keep celebrating it until the next one comes along. And you can keep celebrating it anyway. You know, I celebrate wins from years ago and I celebrate them again, you know, and months ago and weeks ago. You don't have to stop celebrating, you know, the gifts that life has brought us. Why not keep celebrating them, right? So, yeah, we'll talk about it, as I say, a little later on in the call when we get to the Inspired Action Blueprint. All right, questions. So let me see. We have a beautiful question posted by Mary Kay. I think what I want to do is just give you a brief overview of what today's class is going to look like. So the question from Mary Kay, well, I'm going to do a brief recap. Well, I already did it, really, of call number one to remind us where we are. And then we're going to be talking about inspired action. And I don't know, I always have titles for these calls. Last week it was called Effortless Business, How to Have Magic on Your Side. This week we do have a title. It's called Inspired Action, 12 Keys to Moving in the Right Direction Always. How do we take that inspired action? So we're not running around like a chicken with our heads cut off, right? So our action is intentional. So our action makes a difference. So action moves a needle in the world, right? So that's what today's call is about. And it's deeply in the realm of the opening series, because when we've got that support of the universe behind us, and then we take an action that is one action, many results, instead of a whole bunch of non-inspired action, then we're tapped in, again, we're tapped into something larger, and we don't have to work so hard, and we can get to where we want to go with so much more ease and grace and joy and love and fun, right? Okay. And I'm not going to tell you more about how we're going to do that. We'll get to that. That's going to be the bulk of the training for this call. All right. Mary Kay's beautiful question. Thank you so much. And just a reminder that you can post questions. We're posting them in the Facebook page now. And a great reason to do that is that you can get help from each other there too, right? So there's a particular place to post the questions. So thank you, Yvonne, for posting that. Post your questions here, right? So you guys can see them. And then go ahead and get help from each other too. It's like you can take that question further. And sometimes it's help from each other. And sometimes with Mary Kay's question, it was help from her own thinking about the question that pushed the question so much further. Mary Kay, great job. So we're going to start there with that question. And Mary Kay says, how can I get my mind around thinking in simple enough concepts to teach people beginning to work with me? Like you've said before, we often take for granted things beginners need to know. And the question itself is so astute, it's so wonderful. Do you remember Jamie's first couple questions in her talk and how much we worked on those a couple months ago? So illustrative of that, because Jamie was just, you know, in her, hi Jamie, I know you can't make it live, I know you're gonna be listening later. She was so in her head without knowing that she was around relationship marketing. The questions she was asking were way inside what I call inside the party. You got to decorate the door. They're not thinking about that. They're thinking about lunch. They're thinking about breakfast. They're thinking about feeding their kids. They're thinking about growing their company. I don't know. They're thinking about something else. They're thinking about, I'm afraid of this horse. They're thinking about, how can I not be so tired by the end of the day? Maybe because I'm, you know, because I want to be using horses to balance my energy, whatever it is. They're thinking about something other than what we think they're thinking about, because we're so deep in it that we can't see the forest for the trees. So it's an excellent, excellent question. So then, Mary Kay says, here's some ideas I'm trying. Each one of these is wonderful. I encourage you to try them all out. So Mary Kay, what I want to do is play a little bit with each of these and then give you a couple other tips and tools to help you do this. But the first thing is you're asking all the right questions. This is fantastic. So Mary Kay says, well, number one, here's what she's going to try. Imagine 30 years ago and the problems I had then. Great idea. Often we are our own ideal clients, just an earlier version of us, right? Not always, but often. Number two, pretend I don't know how to solve the problems. Great. It's in the same energy as question number one in a way, right? Beginner's mind. Number three, pretend I'm getting frustrated. Number four, break things down into smaller and smaller steps than I think necessary. Number five, ask questions of myself as I'm planning. All these are fantastic, Mary Kay. And so I want to walk us through, the way I want to address this question is, I want to play just a little bit for a minute or two with each one of these pieces, with your permission, Mary Kay. So imagine 30 years ago. Let's just play into the you've given us great material. You've answered your own question here. And again, I'll give you another couple of tips and tools for this. But imagine 30 years ago. What were you asking, Mary Kay? Give us a couple of things. Get us started.
What was I asking?
Even watching Mary Kay try to access it, do you know, see how far away it is to us? Because we so know ourselves, right?
I got to go pretty far back. Darn, I was showing my horse. I wanted to get to the next level. Mm-hmm. I wanted to get those scores for my medal.
Uh-huh. Want to get to already there's marketing copy here. Already there's sales copy. There's things to talk to people in strategy sessions about. Want to get to the next level, but not sure how. Frustrated when you watch other people. Can you see all that could start to be created from that? This is great. What else, Mary?
I didn't know how to sit the trot. I mean, I did it. I mean, you had to do it when you went to the shows, but that was, it was like, I felt like I couldn't sit the trot.
See, we don't, okay, so when we don't, because it's not our field, right? So break that down even, you know, you said smaller steps. We're going to use that one. What does that even mean? Like how, why?
Okay, not feel like you're bouncing out of the saddle.
Feel like you're bouncing out of the saddle and don't know what to do. See other people getting the numbers and it feels like it's a million miles away. And trying to use their language as much as possible. And their language is what you were saying right then. So fantastic.
Oh, I wanted to do freestyle too. I wanted to do freestyle to music. I mean, I did, but I wanted to do more. Love when the music freestyles.
Okay. And again, these might be different campaigns, different areas, but she can just gather a whole bunch of words. Some of them are going to be in strategy sessions. Some of them are going to be for different courses. Some of them are going to be in different campaigns. Interested in freestyle, but not quite sure where to start, or whatever it was that felt like the problem. Well, why was that a problem, Mary Kay? Like what? And again, this is not does this apply? How does this apply? This applies to each of you in your areas, right? So why was that a problem? Why didn't you just do it, Mary Kay?
Why didn't I just do it? Because I was so busy trying to get the scores for the medal. There wasn't enough time to do the fun stuff.
So busy trying to get the medal, got no time for the fun stuff, getting frustrated because the other people seem to be, whatever it is, having more fun, or getting frustrated because you feel like you're bouncing out of the saddle all the time and it hurts. These are great. And it's where I was going to take it to. The words in capital letters on my page are top of mind problem. And for you, that very first one is a huge technique. Imagine 30 years ago, for some of you, it might be last week. For some of you, it might be 3 weeks ago. That's your ideal client. And even for Mary Kay, it might be, depending on who the client is, it might be closer in or it might be 30 years ago. But this 30 years ago allows you to, when you say, pretend I don't know how to solve it, well, beginner's mind, you didn't know how to solve it then. A really easy way to step back into not knowing how to solve it is to step back into those former shoes, all right? Another exercise you can use. So this is great, Mary Kay. We could spend the whole day on this, but you got the idea, right? This is fantastic. You can think of that point of view exercise we did in Stories That Sell Now. Imagine that it's a Martian. I think it was Jamie with the exercise about breakfast, right? And imagine a Martian was seeing this. And I love what Andrea, you said, because I can't remember what she grabbed out of the cupboard, an oatmeal bar or something like that. And Andrea said, if it was from a Martian's point of view, oh, people must all eat things that are rectangular. It's hard to get back to that, you know, don't know anything point of view. A Martian wouldn't know whether that even doesn't even know which piece of information is important, the shape of the object, what it's made of. So then a Martian might try to pick up rectangular shaped coal and eat it. And our clients and potential clients are like this compared to you know more than you know you know. They might be looking at the wrong thing. So like, because I don't know anything about bouncing in the saddle, I might go, wow, it's because, I don't know, do I have stirrups? Is it the length of them that's a problem? Is it that I've got the wrong horse? It's like, I might be a really good example because I have no idea, right? Mary Kay even knows the categories of thought. She knows that it's not about a rectangular thing. It's about the substance that the thing is made of or whatever it is, but I don't know those things. Her ideal client doesn't know those things. So depending on where she wants to catch them, you know, how much information they already have. So that point of view exercise, like if I were looking down on this, which pieces, you know, if I imagine myself as a Martian, that's another way to do that. I can imagine 30 years ago, I can imagine myself as a Martian, you know, when I'm looking at this horse, would I go like, how do you even get on to this horse? And should you, or should you be walking around leading it by a, you know, by the nose to somewhere. And maybe that's even better when I look at it from the beginner's point of view. I don't know. They don't know. So that shift in point of view. And then also you can think about, because that frustration question, Mary Kay, these are all great. Trying to pretend that we're frustrated, or you could do that, but you can do that by remembering the frustration and watching other people. Where do they get frustrated? Where have you seen them get frustrated? And then how do they speak of it? So, and let's say to take it from, sometimes we can see it better in a different place. You might be able to see it really well through Mary Kay here, or it might be, imagine a child and they're going like, I can't reach the cookie jar. And if you would just move this dangerous stepladder over there, Mom, so that I could reach the cookie jar, everything would be fine. You know, but we have a different perspective going, you'll fall off, you'll end up in the hospital, but you can't see that yet, right? Maybe all you need is to be able to learn how to ask politely so that somebody will get the cookie for you. Maybe you shouldn't be having a cookie right now. And as we educate you, you know, you'll be happier to eat it after dinner, but that's a more advanced training, right? But the top of mind problem is move the stepladder. That's what the kid is thinking. Maybe, for instance, in that example, right? And so it's like, okay, well, they think the answer is to move the stepladder, but it's like, okay, I get it. You want the cookie. You focus on what they want, right? Not the means to get there. I get you want the cookie. Why do you want the cookie? Why is it going to make you happy? Okay, well, what if you does your tummy hurt right now because you just had 10 cookies? What would it feel like if you ate that cookie later? That might or might not work with a kid. But what I'm trying to get at is, what's their top of mind problem? What do they actually want? And can we see it through their eyes? Imagine through the eyes of a Martian, imagine through our eyes 30 years ago or 20 years ago or last week. What are they getting frustrated about? And then there's smaller steps. That's also really wise, Mary Kay, because think of driving as a good example. If you drive, and if you've driven a standard is even better. If you've driven a standard before, or you've watched somebody drive a standard, right? Once you know how to drive a standard, it just feels natural, doesn't it? But I remember learning how to drive a standard, and I had to do it under, you know, the duress of, I learned to drive a standard when I was 25. And I was just starting my first teaching job. And I was learning it on big hills. And I'm like, what do you mean? You got to like in the clutch and you got to, like, it felt like there were so many moving parts. And so somebody who already drives a standard might go, well, just release the clutch, put it in gear and go, or something like that, right? But the person beginning doesn't even know what those words mean. Where's the clutch? What does it do? How do you make the car go? If they're a real beginner, they don't even know what a gas pedal is yet. So smaller steps. Well, first, sit in the car and make sure it's in park. And you're going to need a key. These days you don't, but you know, right? You're going to need a key. And when you turn the key on, oh, you're in a standard. Okay, you're going to want it in neutral. So make sure your foot's on the brake. Let's practice that. So the car doesn't roll into that down the hill or into that truck or whatever, right? So yes, smaller steps. And when you watch other people, and think about the problems that they're running into and watch them and ask them questions. And ask myself questions as I'm planning. Exactly. And these, the questions can be around this. Mary Kay, does that help? Great, great question.
Yeah, I was just thinking about when I learned to do the clutch with my brother's Porsche, and I thought, whoa, the first step would be, I was scared to death I was going to do it wrong. Mm-hmm. So I needed some kind of help with that.
Exactly. So noticing it's not actually even the technical part. What's the mindset? That's really where the game is played, right?
And that's, I hear that all the time from people that have horses.
Mm-hmm.
They're scared of ruining the new horse that they've bought.
Right. So the first thing I want you to do is take a breath. Well, this is going to be the first training, right? Take a breath. Know that it's going to be okay. And here's the very first thing I'm going to want you to do. And I'm going to let you know that this is going to be safe and your horse is going to love this. That's the same, that's the equivalent of, hey, you're just going to sit in the driver's seat and look around. You don't have to do anything yet. It's okay. Just get used to being seated there. That would be a good beginner's driver instruction, wouldn't it be? Great. Thank you for that question, Mary Kay. Beautiful. Remember to keep posting your questions on the Facebook page. It's so helpful to all of us. And then again, now does this apply? How does this apply in your own field? Just keep asking yourself that. All right. We're going to move on to, again, last time we talked about effortless business, how to have magic on your side, having that, you know, the wind at our back, having something bigger than us. And just to remind you where we were, I shared a couple stories with you. Remember the hiking story? I had a great hiking trip, even though it was 13 hours, and somebody else beside me, same hiking trip, completely different experience. Was stressed, was crying, was, upset with people, and what creates the difference? When we feel like we're all alone and we got to do it alone and we got to push through, we end up working so much harder and we have so much harder time. I showed you those two clips from Harry Potter. Do you remember Harry and then his friend Ron? And Ron, at first, we knew that he was going to crash and burn in his Quidditch game, you know, where they're flying on these broomsticks, right? And he becomes a different person with this Felix Felicis, with this lucky potion. And there's nothing in the lucky potion. He thinks there is. He becomes someone different. And he succeeds so easily, so happily. And then we ended with Dottie saying, well, okay, well, how do we do that? You know, how do we tap into that something larger? It was a great question, Dottie, you know? And might not have said exactly like this, but I might be inspired to just slug somebody, you know, like I really feel like I gotta hit them, you know, like how can I tell when it's a real inspired action so I could be more like Ron when he wins that, you know, catch after catch in that Quidditch game instead of how he was being beforehand. So how does that even happen? So that we end up in the flow of things, right? So really that's where we pick up on in today's call. And again, the title for today's call, Inspired Action, 12 Keys to Moving in the Right Direction Always. All right. The title is a bit of a trick because moving in the right direction always, sometimes when we get there and we're moving in the right direction, it's kind of like this, but we're still moving in the right direction. One of the graduates of one of our alumni, I can't remember what the exact quote was, not in my notes here, but it just came to mind, that when the original Apollo ships were going to the moon, it's like most of the time they were actually off course, right? Most of the time, they just landed on the moon, right? So headed in the right direction always doesn't mean these micro steps were headed to the moon, but you know, how do we end up heading in the right direction? So what is it to take inspired action? And to me, inspired action, again, it's one action, many results. It's an action that's effective. It's an action that's joyful. It's an action that doesn't feel like pushing water up a hill. So how do we find both that state of being and those actions so that we know we're in the flow, we know we're not alone, we know that we're building the businesses that we want to build. We feel like Ron, or we feel like I did on that hike and not the other woman who was suffering so much, same hike, right? So I wanted to share with you first, two teachers on action, because I think we sometimes get stuck. It's like what Mary Kay was talking about right at the beginning. You know, I'm like, I'm so afraid I'm going to make a mistake with my horse, with my in the car, that I don't even want to move. So sometimes we get so afraid to take action at all. And we don't end up taking action. We take crazy action. We do one or the other. So a couple of my teachers on action, Maxwell Maltz and Alex Mendosian, they have kind of opposite ideas about action. And I just want to investigate just for a minute or two so that we don't get afraid, like Mary Kay with Mary Kay's students with her horse, like their horses are not even going to do anything because they're so afraid to mess up, right? So Alex Mendosian, wonderful teacher, but he said something that stayed with me for a number of years. I'm like, there's something both good here and wrong. So he said, there's only one thing worse than going in the wrong direction. And that's going in the wrong direction enthusiastically. Doesn't that just give you like, oh, right, I don't want to do that. why does he say, what do you think, that that's so wrong? It's like all of us, you know, we fear that. Just like Mary Kay's kid, you know, clients don't want to go by that horse, are afraid to do something wrong. Like, there's only one thing worse than going in the wrong direction. That's going in the wrong direction enthusiastically. Why does that make our hearts sink? Why does it make your heart sink? I mean, you're either, you're smiling, or why does it make you laugh? Dottie, go ahead.
It might be, for me, it would be that I think that I've spent way too much of my retirement money enthusiastically, thinking every course that I sign up for is the magic bullet.
Ah, got it. So we have experiences sometimes that tell us that, and we put together an empowering story, a disempowering story really quickly. I did that and it was wrong. That's the story that I'm creating about the past. So therefore I get paralyzed. I don't want to take a step because I might do it again, and oh no. And so we stay stopped. So I think that he's pushing on a real fear button for us, right? And also the trouble with that statement is that we end up dampening our enthusiasm. I don't think that's the solution. Okay, well, I'll go there, but I'll go there with these 57 provisos, and you better make sure. And if you don't tell me that I know exactly where I'm going, where's the adventure in that, then I'm not going to take a step whatsoever. I'll just stand here. So I get afraid. And so I think the problem, where we get sucked in with Alex Mendosian's efforts to help us and pointing out what we're afraid of is, you know, we forget that it comes from who we are. And that, like I said about the rocket ship, we can course correct. We're not in the same place as we were before. If something isn't working so well, we can make a turn. We don't have to stand at the crossroads forever, right? And sometimes we wait for the courage to take action. But it's the action that brings us courage. We do something, we figure out what happens, and then we keep going. So he says, boy, you know, it's bad when we go in the wrong direction, even worse when we go in the wrong direction enthusiastically. I think this needs to be balanced by what Maxwell Maltz says. Maxwell Maltz says, a step in the wrong direction is better than staying on the spot all our life. Once you're moving forward, you can correct your course as you go. Your automatic guidance system cannot guide you when you're standing still. I love that. That quotation gives me chills. Because it'd be like in that analogy of learning how to drive a standard, that we want to start there. Hey, sit in the driver's seat and feel comfortable there, for sure. If we don't feel that, how are we going to, oh, I'm terrified, you know? But we don't want to stay there all our lives, and we want to put it in gear and we can course correct. And
Michelle.
Because if we just sit in that car, we're not going to get anywhere ever, right? Dottie, go ahead.
What was the end of that sentence?
A step in the wrong direction is better than staying on the spot all our life. Once you're moving forward, you can correct your course as you go. Your automatic guidance system cannot guide you when you're standing still. And thank you for underlining that last part, Dottie, your automatic guidance system. See how this connects with the material from opening call number one? There's something larger than us that's steering. And actually, I didn't know I was going to tell you this story. It's nowhere in my notes here. None of this driving stuff is in my notes. It's just what came up for me, right? But it was in 2006. It was my mom's 70th birthday. I was tired and Dana was kind of sick, but it was my mom's 70th birthday. So I got on the highway and started driving the 3 hours north to Edmonton, and we didn't make it there. So one time I've been in an accident in my life, our car spun off the road. It's November 20th, 2006. My 7-year-old daughter in the back seat. We're traveling highway speed. We were extremely, extremely lucky. The guy behind us said, yes, you should have flipped. I don't know why your car didn't flip. We would have flipped right into the oncoming traffic. I tell you this story now because he says, your automatic guidance system cannot guide you when you're standing still. I don't know how to drive a car like that. The car was spinning all over, and it was hitting one, you know, end of the road and then the other. And we were traveling at highway speeds. I don't know how to drive a car like that. I really, really don't. But I can remember every moment. It's crystalline in my memory. Have you had something like that before? How the world slows down, raise your hand. Do you remember that? Did it happen to you? Yeah. Every move was just there. Every move, I somehow knew what to do. I wasn't doing it. Your automatic gun system can't guide you when you're standing still. We get so afraid. And I'm not saying our cars are going to spin off the road. It's only happened to me once, right? I'm not saying, oh my goodness, our cars are going to spin off the road. But when we trust, when we know that there's something larger than us that's guiding it, we don't know why things happen. You know, it's funny because I'm not going to Edmonton for my mom's birthday this year. And my mom has always been like this, but every year she's like, you know, if you've got lots on your plate, don't come. She says, I'm going to be this age all year long. My mom is very wise. You know, I'm going to be this age all year long. And you don't need to come right now. And who knows? Like, we don't know if it's good news or bad news. Remember that story? Because maybe in that, there are other times when I might have pushed further. And we got lucky that time. Maybe the next year we wouldn't have. There's been times where I didn't go when I would have. But my family will go like, man, you've got a lot going on. You're in the midst of a launch or whatever it is. We don't want to see you. My mom told me last week, I won't let you come for my birthday. So automatic guidance clicks in. There's something larger at play for us. Maybe we wouldn't even be alive now had it not been for that experience. I don't know, because I was pushing more in those days. What would happen the next year? Trust. So we step forward, we take a move, and not worry so much about moving in the wrong direction enthusiastically. At least we're enthusiastic. And when we're being ourselves, when we're breathing, when we're practicing Shavasana, when we're bringing all of ourselves to it, we'll notice. We'll note if it's not getting us the way we want to go, and we can course correct like they did heading to the moon. If they just stayed there on the platform, they couldn't get to the moon, and they wouldn't be able to course correct. All right, so we can keep our enthusiasm. We can get ourselves going. We can start by being in that place of enthusiasm, of love, joy, right? Knowledge, freedom, appreciation, the best of who we are. Then we make a decision, we move forward. Not waiting 30 years to get something going, right? And also though, not having that impatience, like, okay, well, I gotta do it right this red hot minute, otherwise everything's gonna fall apart. Do you get like, that's the counterpoint to what Alex Mendozian is saying? He's like, oh my goodness, I'm so afraid to run in the wrong direction enthusiastically. Or, you know, it's got to be right this red hot minute or else everything falls apart. Or I can't move at all because all those are just laced with fear. All those are laced with not trusting that there's something larger than us that's going on here. When I can trust, when I can take a breath, I just take an action, see what happens, play with it more, and then take the next action after that. And again, it's not really about the action, even though this call is about inspired action. It's really about who we're being. Who am I being in this moment of, that's why Mary Kay students want that moment in the car analogy, right? Just seated in the car, seated with the horse, whatever, seated in the car going like, hey, let's just make friends with being seated in the driver's seat. You've been a passenger all your life, you're 14 years old or whatever it is, right? Just sit here and feel what it's like. Look at you, you're 14 now. You get to sit in the driver's seat. How's that feel? Right? Owning who we are and then taking inspired action. All right. So let me see. I have two things I want to do with you, and I'm just trying to decide the jot down your most important aha right now. What's the biggest aha about inspired action for you? Just take a moment to do a mini consolidation. Will I decide, am I doing part two or part three first? Just to see where we are and decide. Let's hear just one or two of these. I want to hear what you're hearing before we move into part two. Yeah, Dottie, go ahead.
My biggest was there were a lot of big ones, but one that stuck out to me is the last thing that you said. Make friends as the 14-year-old with sitting in the driver's seat. Mm-hmm. And the reason that meant a lot to me is that I have studied a lot about mindset, but I'm not doing it. And one of the major things I'm not doing is sitting quietly and dreaming. And that would be a way of practice, like in my mind, practice being a Julia Roberts teacher. That's what I want to be, a pretty mm-hmm. Julia Roberts teacher. And like she was in the movie, can't think of it right now. But and any tips that you have on that would be really good. It's like, you know, that even the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But my achievement slate is blank. And it's up to me to put what I want there for my subconscious to be able to help me get there.
Yeah. When you said my achievement slate is blank, I was kind of like, what do you mean by that? You mean you haven't achieved anything? I'm going to take issue with that. But it can be something quite positive. It can also be like, I can put whatever I want in that shelf. I can see it in any way that I want. And I love that. So then, how do I become that? How do I become that teacher? How do I take those inspired actions? And how do I be that? That is deeply the subject matter for today's call. And that's why I decided to go to what was originally part three right now, head straight over there. And that's to the Inspired Action Blueprint. So let me tell you 12 things to do in order to have that happen. And so I'm going to share my screen in just a second, but I want to tell you about the Inspired Action Blueprint. We made it pretty for you, by the way. You were talking about being the pretty, you know, right? We made it pretty for you. We just rebranded it. And oh my goodness, it's never looked so beautiful before. And sometimes that matters. I can see it better in this form. So I'm excited to share this with you today. So why I created the Inspired Action Blueprint, it came out of a VIP day with a diamond level client years ago. And she was noticing that, Michelle, when you do stuff, like it's always easy for you. Why is it always easy for you, you know? And again, same thing, you take one action, many results. And I realized that I've been doing this at least since my 20s. And people would say, Michelle, you're so lucky. Michelle, it's easy for you. Or in my beloved extended family relatives, they would say something like, Michelle, you always have had a horseshoe up your ass. You know, right? How'd that happen, right? You know? However it gets named, it's like, well, why was this happening? And I had a lot of unconscious confidence about it. It wasn't happening by accident. It was happening for reasons. In this VIP day with this beautiful client, I'm like, we created this together. I'm like, you guys all need to see this. I want to share this with all of you, because if you miss even one of my clients 2 years ago, she said like, oh my goodness, I realized I've been missing step 9. Things weren't working. It's like 12 steps, right? So putting that back in, and things started to move again. And so I want to share this with you right now, like how and why this happens. How do we create inspired action? And when you first look at this, we're just going to read the thing together. And when you first look at this, you might think, oh, this is really complex. It's not complex. One of our clients a couple of years ago, he said that. It's like, oh, well, you know, I can't do all these steps. After we go through it, I'm going to give you some examples from the very mundane to like what we did in Shavasana at the beginning of class, on something very simple that takes a few minutes, to planning out a business, to like it works at all levels. And you can use this like a check sheet, because you're probably doing a bunch of them in all areas, but missing a couple steps sometimes, right? And sometimes the steps happen all at once, like you're going to do 4 steps all at once in a second. And sometimes you're going to plan it out like for a larger project, and you're going to do some investigation into one of the steps. But from what I see, these steps are always there when we're taking inspired actions, when we're letting it be easy, when we've got the wind at our back, right? So let me just go find the screen I want to share. Give me 1 second. I hope I can get you over to here. Let me see if this works. Oops, how come? All right, so share my screen. Here it is. Okay, hopefully you are now seeing the Inspired Action Blueprint. Are you seeing it? Yes, thank you. Okay, so it's called Inspired Action Blueprint, Dream Plan Act. We're just going to read it together. It'll just take a couple minutes to start. And what I want you to do is just unmute yourself. Somebody's going to read it. Read it like you mean it. Read it like this is the work of your favorite author, so the words land. And if 2 people start at once, somebody's going to own it. Somebody will state it. And then that other person will go next. So I'm not going to organize us. You're just going to read it.
No, and you just enlarge it a little bit.
Pardon me?
You enlarge it a little bit?
Yeah, hang on.
You're only at 76% there.
I think if I just go like this.
Oh, good.
Better?
Yes, thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Okay, number one.
Thank you, Yvonne.
Gather your energy. Do whatever it takes to create the best energy you can in the moment so that you can take inspired action. This step is crucial. It's the foundation for everything. Don't skip it.
See, I said that like three times. It's crucial. It's the foundation. Don't skip it. Gather my energy. Be in the best energy possible. This is the answer to Dottie's question from last time. How do I know I'm not, you know, tapping into what's inside me and punching somebody in the nose? If I'm in a bad mood, if I want to kill somebody right now, like that's not the time to tap into that and to tap into that inner wisdom and go do something. Go dance, go celebrate, go do something that gets me in a better state and make the decision from there. In a strategy session, if somebody's in a funk, I'm not going to make an offer to them. I want them to be in a place of possibility where their biggest self, where all of themselves is enacting and doing and making decisions, right? I'm going to try not to interrupt. I wanted to interrupt on that one though, because it's so foundational. None of the rest will work without that one. All right, go ahead, whoever's next.
Create your vision. Write your bucket list. Choose the top 10, set a goal / dream / intention, and put a date on it when you're ready. Use a dream games, the four spiritual laws of prosperity, to create this vision. Make it as specific as you can while staying in positive energy, and let it be general when needed.
Thank you. And with this, you can use Edwin Gaines, you can use something else. I just wanted to give you a resource. This is one way you can do it. There are many ways, but there's a resource that will help you do this. We're going to do more of that in our Quantum Leaps retreat as well. Number three.
Gather knowledge. Learn whatever you need to learn so you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Do research, find teachers. What resources do you already have? What do you need to know to make it happen?
Four, find a mentor. Again, don't reinvent the wheel. Learn from those who already know. Get their support.
Where are we? Find a mentor. Five, thank you. There we are.
Create an actionable plan. See what it is you want to do and by when. What needs to be done in order to achieve that goal? What are the steps?
Six, chunk it down. What's the date you want it done by? If it's a year from now, for example, what needs to be done in 6 months, in three, over the next week, today, this hour? At the end of the day, make a list of five things you plan to get done the next day. What are the priorities for tomorrow?
Put it on the calendar. Get those actions onto your calendar today.
Best next step. What is your best next step? What do you need to do now to make this happen? Do it.
Celebrate. You got that step done. Celebrate like crazy. Have fun.
Share. Share what's happening with dream enablers. Get support. Connect with others on similar journeys. Stay connected to learn and grow and bring joy into your life.
Do the repeat 12, no?
Oh, number 11.
11, analyze the results. What worked, what didn't, what needs tweaking? What do you want to keep? What do you want to let go of? What's next? Be optimistic and flexible. Measure at the right time.
Repeat, do the whole process again with your next steps. Learn, do. Find the energy, get that support, take the next step, see what happens, adjust, correct, and continue, then do it again.
Thank you so much. So these steps I did unconsciously, as I said, without even knowing I was doing it, and it every single one of them is important, every single one of them makes a difference, and you might go, wow, for everything I have to do so much, it's going to take forever. Depends on what the kind of thing is, right? Let me give you an example now of, hey, we did Shavasana at the beginning of class. Gather your energy. Well, every inspired act, every act that's aligned has these things in it. So we did Shavasana at the beginning of class, for example. Gather your energy. Well, I asked you to, you know, find a nice quiet place, for instance, right? Where you have the best chance of having that energy. Create your vision. Well, we didn't do it like a bucket list or choosing the top 10 or anything like that. It's like, create your vision. Okay, close your eyes and feel the breath, right? And the vision is all I'm doing is breathing. It happens in very simple ways when I'm doing Shavasana. Gather knowledge, learn whatever you need to learn. Oh, that's happening on the spot too, isn't it, right? Because I'm telling you to stretch out your legs and put them up on the couch or on a chair. So gathering knowledge about what you need to do. The research in this case is happening like as we're doing it. So again, sometimes all these things are gonna happen at once in an apparently simple act like Shavasana. Find a mentor, oh, we were already doing that. I'm talking you through it. Right, so you see these four happening right from the beginning, right? Number five, see what you want to do and by when. What needs to be done in order to achieve that goal? What are the steps? Oh, close your eyes, stretch out your legs, right? Follow the breath, release the body. So all that, number one to five, I chunk it down. What's the date you want it done by? Put it on the calendar. Oh, we're gonna do that right now. Five and six happened right then, right? Best next step, what's your best next step? Oh, why don't, number eight and nine happened right at the end. Hey, what did you love in that? Let's celebrate that. I don't call it a celebration, but we're really doing that. Wow, my mind was quiet today. Wow, I learned about Santosha today. Best next step is Dottie noticing, wow, it was sad when I had to leave that. Right, so my next step is to, you know, be attracted like honey to the bees and so on, right? So that was happening. Share, oh, right, we did that. So this might look like, wow, this is so complex. I can't, you know, I better sit for 10 years until I take an action, Michelle, because there's all these steps I got to do. We just did it in Shavasana. If you get that, raise your hand. Did you see what we just did? We did all these things, right? Let me give you one more example, a different kind of example, all right? So one of the things we're going to be doing coming up in this company now, for most of you, I don't recommend this. It's like the right things at the right time in the right order. We've actually never done Facebook ads. The company's grown and grown. We haven't done it. It's like start close in. But we just hired somebody to do Facebook ads for us. We're going to be doing that over the next couple months. And it's kind of fun. Gather the energy. Every time I thought about Facebook ads, I was like, no thanks. We're doing other things right now. It didn't happen. And in this case, it didn't happen even for years because it's just like I teach you with practical applications. Start close in. It was the wrong action. The energy couldn't be gathered around it. I just, you know, made me... I didn't feel like it. It wasn't fun. And if it's not fun, we're not doing it right. So that just held off that project for a long, long time. But now it starts to feel like fun. Now we've got, you know, an object to play with. We've got Empowering Stories for Entrepreneurs coming up. It's our third time doing it. It's not our first rodeo. And create the vision. It's like, what would it be like to learn more about Facebook ads? And also because we teach story, this company hasn't done Facebook ads. When we do it, then when people have specific questions about Facebook ads, I'm going to know more about it. So it up levels the company and the questions we can answer. So that's part of my vision. Gather knowledge. Oh, right. Well, I hired an expert and I talked to find a mentor. I did both of those pretty quickly because I had a friend who already knew somebody who was doing really great Facebook ads. Gather knowledge. I waited till a bunch of my friends and colleagues had already invested hundreds of thousands of dollars. And, you know, I could tell me who to engage with. I don't know if it's going to work out or not, but I did these things all right. I did these things and they took place, some of them over the last week, some of them over years. Create an actionable plan. I'm meeting with a guy tomorrow and we're going to talk about what steps we need when. And we've got a bit of a short timeline, so we had to make sure that there was room on the calendar, number seven, so that I could get actions done. Today in a meeting with the team, I just postponed something else because I knew I needed to be able to put these things on my calendar. Chunk it down. We're both working on the Facebook page and we're building a new website. And one of the things that the website designer was saying, Kim Yancey is designing our website for us. And I was like, when do you want it done by? He asked me that question. I said, a couple months from now. So both of these projects worked in similar ways, right? Chunk it down. I can't tell you about that for the Facebook project because that's exactly what we're doing tomorrow. Best next step and celebration and sharing. That's what's going to be happening over these 8, 9, 10, and 11 and 12 are going to all be happening over the next couple months. I don't know what the best next step is other than meeting with the guy to see what he needs, right? We're celebrating that we got it. I celebrate that win with the team. Yvonne, you've been on some of those calls. I'm sharing it right now with Dream Enablers. I mean, it's not designed for me, but I am sharing it here and it's fun to share it. We will analyze the results. Andrea, you know about this. It's like, oh, we're going to analyze the results so that we can then bounce off of it in January for the next launch. And then we'll do it again, maybe or maybe not. Maybe we'll do it different in different initiative instead. We're going to see if we liked that. And we'll repeat, maybe it's not going to be a Facebook ads campaign, it's going to be something else. So from a major marketing campaign to Shavasana in the moment, these steps matter. So I would love to walk through this really quickly with one of you. Name anything that you're doing, and let's see if we can map this on so you can see this is not rocket science. One thing I want to emphasize, number 9 is usually missed, celebrate. Last night, when I told you I'd come back to my daughter's story, last night when she got the application in for the University of Alberta, each one of these applications, they have to assume it's going to take 25 to 30 hours, and that was her 8th school that she applied to, I think it was, on top of already a full load and on top of working nearly full-time at the lab. Last night, God bless my beautiful daughter, we got it in, and I was just moving on to the next thing. Well, we were going to sell, we ate some dessert. I had a bottle of cider. We had a bottle of cider. We watched a funny show. But right when we finished, she's like, Mom, and I thought that was a celebration, but she knows to celebrate. She's like, Mom, I'm like, well, yeah. So for years, this is what we do. And we've had something really beautiful that's happened. We just like jump like maniacs in a circle. And, you know, we go, yay. And we're, you know, we give each other a hug. And she's like, Mom, we missed it. You know, we did all these things. Where's the celebration? So important to celebrate. All right, so I'd like a volunteer. We're going to do this just in 2 minutes because there's another thing I want to do with you, but I just want you to see, I gave you 2 opposite examples. I would like somebody to come up with whatever thing you've got on your plate, and let's walk it through so we can see maybe you're missing a piece, or maybe like, how does this apply to this thing? So Wendy, go ahead. And just like I did, let's just go through them really quickly so we can see that map's on. Oh, maybe I'm trying to do this myself. I haven't found a mentor. I think I got to do it all myself. I'm going to end up like that woman on the hiking thing, right? And a mentor can be just, advice from somebody it can be as simple as advice from somebody in this community, or hiring somebody. You all, this is like preaching to the choir because you all have a mentor here, right? So, but sometimes it's a mentor in that area, like I got my Facebook guy and so on, right? So Wendy, why don't you walk us through it, and I'll just see what the thing is and then how you might map it onto this Inspired Action Blueprint. It's a very, very deceptively simple, very powerful document.
So I had a hypnotherapist who reached out to me and asked if I wanted to do a workshop with her. So I'm doing creating a vision and dreaming. And then she's helping people learn how to manage the emotions that arise when we begin to dream.
Okay, and I want to slow this one down a little bit too. I know I told you to go quickly. But, you know, this one could be like Shavasana, or it could be like my Facebook thing, right? Gather the energy. What does it take to create the best energy in the moment? So does this feel aligned for you? Is this the right thing to put your time and energy into? How does it feel? So that we don't end up doing 10,000 things. And how's that feeling, Wendy? Is this something that you really want to do? It was sounding like it, but I just wanted to pause there for a minute, because sometimes right at the outset, like I say, the Facebook thing, I didn't do for years because I was just stopped at that first level. What do you think, Wendy?
I'm actually really excited about it. I'm excited to see how our strengths play together, because I know that dreaming does erupt a lot of emotions. And so if I have someone who can help my clients manage what comes up so that they can continue moving forward, that excites me.
Fantastic. And then if you can see that creating the vision is going to be important for you, Wendy, right? Because like, well, what's the vision? How is this in service with, and I gave you some ideas how to do this. We're going to do this deeper dive at Quantum Leaps, for instance, but like, how is this in service to my larger goal of what it is that I want to do in my company, right? So, and what's the one sentence version of that for you, Wendy? Like, how is this going to help you with your larger dream and vision for your company? One sentence.
So the vision is that the people who come to the event will be invited into working with me further in Trusting Divinity.
Oh, and will you do a strategy session?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Do you see, like, if she skipped that step, she might build a whole lot. And it's like, oh, wow, there's no purpose to this. There's no vision. There's fantastic. Gather knowledge. What are you going to need to do?
We found a location. I mean, just gathering, like, what are we going to need to pull this off? And I don't notice that I feel like there's a ton of, but putting together a presentation, figuring out like the mapping out of what the event is going to look like. Is that the knowledge part?
Yeah, yeah, that's part of it. And see how 3 and 4 are connected? Because you want to do a day-long workshop where you're working with another person and you want to bring people to strategy sessions. Oh, who do you know who might have done that successfully before in this community, for instance? Like, I would be asking questions about that, right? Because there's some very specific things you want to do in an event so that people will want to take the next step. So I'd be asking a bunch of questions here to in order for that to be easy so that you don't do the whole day and then people don't want to take that next step or whatever it is. So how do you create an event where you create hunger and desire and that, you know, you've got mentorship here, so leaning in with it. Does that make sense? And if you're going like, I don't even know what I need to know. Oh, find a mentor who could suggest something, because you're going to want to know about the venue. You're going to want to know about joint ventures too, because that's an area that you might not know about. But if you're going, like, do you want to be married to that person or are you just dating? Like, how are you going to split the proceeds? And all that is part of the knowledge that you need. And some of you know, I've made some mistakes in that area a few years ago. Learned a lot, right? Because I didn't listen to my mentor who told me not to do it, right? And so how do you set that up? You can save yourself tons. Some people on this call know. Yvonne, I know you know deeply. Tons of frustration and difficulty by, even understanding what the knowledge is that you need. So there was a gap in the knowledge of what's even needed to make that successful. Right, you have to know what the agreement is with that other person so you don't have problems down the way. So 3 and 4 are connected here. Wendy, great, let's keep going. Number 5, number 6, what do you think? How's this related to what you're doing?
Yeah, so we're planning on just a 4-hour event. So a half a day event, and it's scheduled for October 24th. So it's coming up soon.
Ah, right.
So taking messy action.
Right. 5 and 6 are going to be quite urgent then, right? So yeah. What all is going to need to be done? And I better be asking questions right now too, so that I know. And then putting it on the calendar is like, what do I have time for those strategy sessions after? I've made all these mistakes actually. Had an event. Now I need strategy sessions. Oh, there's no room for them. And then those strategy sessions go cold, right? So 5, 6, and 7 are going to be crucial for you right here, right now. And then best next step. Oh, we didn't dive into this too much, but so what's your best next step? What's the thing that you need to do today to make this happen, Wendy?
I think the best next step is just inviting people to join us.
Ah, right, because you want people there. Yeah, so that also means you need to know what the promise of the event is. Why should they come, right? So those are some of the things that you're gonna want to do, and you're gonna want to be maybe writing a list of who you even want to have there. Right? So again, that you can use this Inspired Action Blueprint as a guide to go, which piece am I missing? What do I need to do, right? Celebrate. You want to celebrate all the steps along the way. I'd celebrate that idea that you're doing it. I would be celebrating together before it even happens. Share you're doing that now, analyze the results and so on. The rest of these seem, you know, pretty straightforward, right? So I would say the place where there was the biggest gap for you, sometimes it's in celebration and so on. In this case, I would say it's in 3 and 4. That's where the biggest gap is, because when I gather knowledge, I don't even know what I need to know. Ha. Then you want a mentor. Don't reinvent the wheel. You want to think through how you jointly, because like, what if, for instance, and I'm not trying to go on the dark side, but things that you don't have to experience, right? Like, what if you do this jointly and then you go to strategy sessions and then afterwards, and I've had things like this happen before, afterwards she said, what? You mean somebody just joined your, say, $10,000 program? Well, because I did the 3-hour workshop with you, I should have half of that. You knew that, right? You know, like stuff like that happens in the industry all the time. And so, oh my goodness, how about not running into that afterwards? And then needing that, finding that clear plan, that's part of the gathering the knowledge so that that doesn't happen. And it might be somebody who just says, oh yeah, I just want this for experience. And I, you know, you go ahead and you get to do all the strategy sessions and you can take all the proceeds that come from that. You don't know that until you've worked that out with them. And or maybe it's going to go to both strategy sessions for her and for you. But then how are you going to create that clear problem solution so people want to take action? Because a confused mind doesn't buy it, can't go in two places. So all of this could say, hey, Michelle, you're raining on my parade. I was really enthusiastic and now I'm a little less enthusiastic about this. Maybe might or might not have happened. But it's part of the gathering the knowledge process. Like, what are the things that I'm going to want to know so that it's easy, so that I can, you know, build on the knowledge of others. And it might be something as simple as saying, to that person. Like sometimes there's simple answers when we even know what to ask. Like, hey, we're doing this workshop together. Like, I don't know what you're, but I would be asking me questions about that because I don't know the particular circumstances. Like, we're doing this workshop together. Is it okay if we do it together and I will take them into strategy sessions and whoever invests, I will get, you know, give you this percentage, right, of the profits. Or maybe we can have them come to strategy sessions for me afterwards. But for those people that we've got jointly, you're going to be a part of the problem. You're going to be part of the solution. And you're going to be training on the campus in this way. But then that's like getting married before you're dating. I'm not sure that I would recommend that. But those things should be figured out beforehand. And that's part of what you're going to be doing as you create the actionable plan and chunk it down. Make sense? All right, so I'm going to stop sharing now. This you can find in Story Freedom Academy. If the latest version of it isn't posted yet, I'm sure Amy will have it posted there for you soon. So if you're looking for it, just give us a shout, but it should be easily accessible. So Wendy, how did that feel as we were walking you through that? Is that like, can you see where you're already doing things and then where the gaps are and where you know, the actions that you could take to make things easier?
Yes. And I have been really in my head about, like, for me right now, forward momentum, as messy as it has to be, is better than no momentum at all.
Aha. Thank you. And that's why we did that piece with Alex Mendosian at the beginning. And that's perfect. That's fine. I've done a ton of that. Remember Ready, Fire, Aim from Peak Potentials? Done a ton of that. So then this Inspired Action Blueprint, as I glance through it, I might just go, I want to gather the basics of knowledge. I want to spend a couple minutes on this, but I actually don't want to know too much because I just want to go for it because I feel like I've been stalled a little bit or I'm feeling a little bit afraid. And so I'm just going to go forward. And then it circles back to the gather the energy, right? If anything of the other steps starts to leak energy, we go back to step number one and gather the energy again. Why is it that I want to do this? What am I excited about it? How can I put in just a couple things in place to make it easier? It might be a 5-minute conversation for that gather knowledge. And it's like, oh, all I need to do is say, hey, can we do a workshop now? And we'll take these people to strategy sessions and we'll do another one and they'll go to your strategy sessions next time or whatever you decide. There's 1,000 different ways it could be done. But just having asked that one question beforehand could save you a lot of trouble and still carry the momentum forward. If that makes sense to you, if you just heard what I said, how she can use this as a tool in the way that she wants to make sure that she's got things, she's doing things easily, right? Wendy, if you got that, raise your hand. If that makes sense to you, this is a very, very powerful tool. You got it. Thank you. All right. There was one other piece that I wanted to do. And I think, let me just take a look. I think we might do it at the beginning of next week's call. Let me see. Because I don't want to rush through things here.
Michelle?
Yep, go ahead.
Could you go back to my question? A lot, I love the list. The list is great. It's very heady. A lot of it's very heady. Can you go back to my question about a missing piece for myself is to sit with a blank page and dream what I want to have, which is very much not in the head, more in the heart.
And you know, so this might feel heady to you, and I get it because here's like a bunch of, you know, actions to take, for instance, right? But it doesn't have to be at all. That's why I went through some examples of it. So what you're talking about, let me share my screen one more time. What you're talking about is right under gathering the energy and creating your vision. And it could be gathering knowledge as well. And it could be finding a mentor. So this can take on different energies, depending on how we use it, right? So thank you for that beautiful clarifying question, Dottie. So it might be, hey, I just want to sit with a blank page. I'm doing 1 and 2 and 3. I might be gathering knowledge from inside me. As you're sitting with that blank page and meditating, you might be doing 1 and 2 and 3. It's a different example of that because we gain a lot from the inside, right? Your research is internal to you. Svadhyaya in the yoga tradition, self-study, right? So I'm sitting and meditating and I'm journaling and I'm putting things down on a blank page, that's all 1, 2, and 3 in a very different form. Find a mentor. For some activities, it might be that the teacher within us all, the kind of blessing at the end of yoga often is like giving thanks to the teachers who came before us and the divine teacher within us all. So your mentor for a given activity could be your highest self. You could be one way to implement these 4 steps in a that comes from deeply from the heart. It's just in all in how you take these steps up for you, Dottie, and for all of you. It might be that you do a dialogue. And if we do this with our opposite non-dominant hand, it can be a really cool exercise. You can have like conversations with God or the universe or your highest self or trust the source, whatever it is for you. And it's like, you know, dear, you know, let's say it's God, you know, dear God, I really want to know what I'm to do next. And then you put God, 2 dots, right? That's fine. I love and support you, whatever you need. Like you just write and divine wisdom flows through us, whatever you want to call that. And when you do use your non-dominant hand, it gets us out of that heady stuff, right? So this can be taken up in very energetically different ways. That would be how you would do 1, 2, 3, and 4 for this task, right? Let me see. And then an actionable plan for this might just be, hey, I want to have an afternoon where I'm doing nothing but dreaming. Say, Dottie, you didn't say this, but so my plan is I'm going to clear everything off my calendar this afternoon. Chunking it down, when do I want it done by? Today. I'm going to cancel all my appointments. I'm putting it on the calendar that that's all I'm doing today. What's my best next step? I'm going to have a hot bath so that I can just, you know, read this inspiring book of poems and just have some time to be with myself. And it's already on my calendar. It's now. I'm going to go find a friend and I'm going to have coffee with them and celebrate that I've spent time in the hot bath and with my journal. And then I'm going to go post it in the Facebook page. It's like, I use the Inspired Michelle's Inspired Action Plan to have a bath and play with my blank page to create what's next in my life. So Dottie, I'm so glad you asked that because it gives a very different implementation. If you understood how that works in a very heart-centered, right on the spot way, and that this is a highly flexible document that works for that too, raise your hand. Did y'all hear that? Very different implementation. Thank you. All right. So that piece I was going to do, part 2, we're going to do that at the beginning of the next call because it's going to fit very, very well with what we're doing next time. Even better, I think, actually. That's that course correcting, right? If teaching is like that too. Course correcting. We did a really, really deep dive into the Inspired Action Blueprint. And this part, what was part 2, is now going to go into call 3. Okay. So let me see. Let me tell you just briefly about call 3. So call 3 is transmuting inner joy to inner gold. Discover the core values of your business. You all have heard about transmutation. You've done some of the process. We never do. We do a deep dive into it, you know, once a year. That's next week. And it fits into the opening series because what if I can tap into something greater than me and know there's something bigger, but only in the good times? Right? The moment something goes wrong, like it did for Dottie. Dottie could have thought that all is lost. Well, that's nice, Michelle, but it doesn't work for me here and now. Will you give me something else? And she could have in that moment gone to the dark side. Right? So if we only have the opening series for our, you know, squeakiest, cleanest of fanciest moments, what's the point? So transmutation is call 3 because what happens when we bump into, it could be something, this was bump into something light, relatively speaking, for Dottie, right? It was not her deepest, darkest moment, but there was, you know, some darkness there. Or it could be our hardest, darkest moments. And then what do we do with that? How do we find the wind at our back then? How do we know? I remember last time I was talking about from my Catholic tradition that, you know, footprints in the sand, where there's only one set of footprints, whatever spiritual tradition you come from, that was my background, right? How come Jesus, all those times when I'm, you know, having the worst time, there's only one set of footprints in the sand. Where were you then? Oh, then my child, that's when I was carrying you. Whatever your tradition is, that it might be that tradition, you might hate that tradition. It might be Buddhist. It might be, you might call yourself an agnostic or an atheist, or it doesn't matter to me. Whatever you call, whatever is your tradition that says there's something larger than me that helps me move through, How do we do that when we've bumped into the dark side and when we have that power? So especially in those moments, we know we're served and supported and there's something larger than us going on. In a way, you could say that that hiking story was about that. Because certainly it was crossing through people's mind that some people were going to be, you know, bodies were going to be found the next day. So, you know, like some people were crying and really upset and on the dark side. And there's certainly stuff going on in our world right now that can take us to the dark side. I made the mistake of reading the news a little bit this morning. I don't do it very often, you know. So transmutation, so that for all moments, we know we're not alone. We don't have to work so hard. And we can take those and use them as a springboard for our best company and our best lives. So that's next time. And I've got a little exercise that we're going to do. I think at the beginning, I'm going to be thinking about it and what the best order is. But it could be at the beginning of the next call. We haven't done something like this in a long, long time. I would say years in this community. And I'm super excited about how we're going to begin this. And it's going to take us off into transmutation in a way we've never ever done before in all the years of this community. So super excited for next week's call. Remember to keep posting your questions. Mary Kay, thank you for your amazing, amazing question. That was a great, great question at the beginning of the call today. We're going to end today's call with ahas and inspired actions. And if you haven't said hello in the chat yet, make sure you do so before you go. So one aha. So that we're always practicing, there's something that's opening, there's an aha that I'm seeing what I love, right? We train our eyes to look that way. One inspired action, one action I'm gonna take. I'm using that word a little bit differently than in the inspired action blueprint. It could be for a momentary action or it could be for planning out a whole year of our company, right? So it's for big or small actions. With this use of the word inspired action at the end of the call, I want one check-offable action. One thing so that we know we're actually not just keeping this as head knowledge, but actually implementing out in the world, taking what we've learned here and doing something with it today, this week. So it moves a needle in our company and our lives. So Andrea, you're up in my left-hand corner. One aha, one inspired action to take us home today.
My aha actually came from a quick sentence that you made where you said a confused mind doesn't buy. And just such simplicity in that. So I'm actually going to take that and look, because I'm creating a course coming up to help entrepreneurs find their exclusive niche or niche if you're in the States. and I want to be able to work that in so that it's very streamlined from both the delivery and for what they're going to take away.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. That's why I love the ahas so much. That was like, you know, that I said that in 10 seconds. Thank you for picking that up. So, and what was your inspired action, the one check-offable thing you're going to do?
So I'm actually putting together course. I'm figuring out how to put that into the course. So it's actually going to be part of that. So I just need to go back and take a look at where it fits in.
Got it. See, because I want to make sure that it can actually be done and Andrea can go, yes, I did it, and feel good and celebrate that, right? She knows that she actually did that thing. So that's why I was looking for the check-offable part. Thank you. Beautiful. Now, Yvonne, you're up next. And we're right at the hour. If you need to leave, no harm done. You can listen to the end of the recording. It's my favorite part. You can listen to it later. If you're able to stay, fantastic. I love hearing these ahas. If you can't stay, go and post in the Facebook page. Yvonne, one aha, one inspired action.
Aha will be keep moving forward.
Yes.
No matter what. And my action is downloading the blueprint and printing it out.
Mm-hmm. I've already printed off. It's hot off the press. I've got two copies of it already printed out. I use this, right? I use this to make sure I am not missing a piece. It's going to just make it harder that I'm keeping it easy. Thank you, Yvonne. Beautiful. Dottie.
Let's see. I am just happy that you created the space to think about this missing piece for me, which is sitting and being able to dream a dream.
Dottie, this is beautiful. This is crucial work for you, work and play. It's thank you for landing on something so important and beautiful for you. Yes. And then you're inspired to action. One check-offable thing. So we know that this is going out into the world for you.
I am. I'm gonna put it on my calendar to start sitting with the empty sheet. Thank you for asking.
Yes, the calendar, because we skipped that part. So often it's like, great idea, and then it never actually ends up getting done.
Exactly.
Thank you. Wendy, you're up. Wendy, you're so welcome. Wendy, you're up next.
I think is it Maxwell Maltz? Is it the Psycho-Cybernetics that you got his quote from?
You know what? I got it from the Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity. It's like a little from him. So I don't even know where the original came from, but it could be.
Okay. I think it sounds very familiar to me, and I read that book of his. And so right now for to keep my energy, like, I think that's the most important thing at the moment for me, is to keep my energy in forward motion. Yeah. And so just taking action, even if it's all the wrong action.
I love it. I love it. And so what is your inspired action? What's one thing you're going to do so that you're doing that?
Yeah. My inspired action, I've actually been feeling this a lot today, is that I'm going to spend time this afternoon in my vision. I have the dream, I have the vision, and I love it, but I don't spend enough time in it. So I'm just going to gather energy by being in the vision.
I love that. Perfectly aligned with everything that we're doing here, and a wonderful step, and is diving deep into one of the steps of the Inspired Action Blueprint. Love it. Mary Kay.
My aha is after this conference and after this workshop I've been giving, I need to be prepared for the stuff afterwards, like prepared to respond to people on Facebook if they post something, and respond if they do want to talk to me. And I just made a list of all the things that I need to be prepared for afterwards.
I love that. That's that piece about the calendar, because I can't tell you how many times I've made that mistake. Like, all these plans, like, oh, but there has to be space on the calendar afterwards or nothing happens. Thank you, Mary Kay. Love it. What's your inspired action?
I'm going to do a little bit of Shavasana before my family arrives.
Oh, that sounds like a great idea. I love it. Marie.
My aha is the reminder about course correction and stay moving. So I'm doing stuff I haven't done before in my business, and I keep having to remind myself it's okay to not be perfect. Mm-hmm. So the timing for this call is really good. And tomorrow I'm meeting with a woman who's helping me do some Facebook Live stuff. We're going to do a test run. So I'm going to do it in the spirit of fun, and then I'll celebrate after we're done.
I love it. Digging into step 9, the one we so often miss, and then we don't want to keep going, but we don't know why. I love it. I love how you're each pulling out different pieces of the Inspired Action Blueprint. I know that you heard it. This has been my favorite call ever about the Inspired Action Blueprint, because I know you guys are getting it. We had so many different examples of how to use this as well. You guys freaking rock. Thank you so much for an awesome, awesome call. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for your observations. Great, great work. And looking forward to seeing you then, same time, same place, next week for how to keep the opening going when we're on the dark side. And we don't worry, we won't have to go to the deep and darkest side to get there. We're going to have some fun right at the opening of the call. You're going to want to make sure you're there right at the beginning, because right after Shavasana, we're going to dive into something we haven't done in a long, long time, years, I think, and never putting these two together. So I'm excited. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.